John chapter number 9. Let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for this King James Bible. Thank you for just dealing with our hearts already today, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, you're a long-suffering God. Help us, Lord. Draw us close to you. Bless the message as they breathe on the words in Jesus' name for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter number 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. A division among them. You see, the religious crowd in today's world would have you to believe that God is the ultimate uniter of everyone. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ didn't have an ecumenical bone in his body. He didn't want everybody to get together and not matter what anybody cared about or what everybody believed. He didn't want everybody just to kumbaya and accept everybody's truth, if you will, and meld it all together. He wanted everybody to get saved and trust him and walk with him and be in unity in the Spirit of God. He was not an ecumenical schmoozer. He was not one of the Pharisees that said, It's your good works and my good works, and we're all going the same place. We're just taking a different path, because different paths will all lead you to hell. But there's only one path to Jesus Christ and one path to heaven, and it's through the Word of God. But I want to look at something else today. I want to look at some things through the passage we just read, beginning in verse number 1. It says, As Jesus passed by. I want to talk about the movement to start with. Jesus passed by. God was on earth and he was moving around, walking amongst the people. And that's what we need in our lives. We need a movement of God. Every time there's been a great movement, God has moved on people, on individuals. He moved on the apostles. He moved on the disciples. And he started the local church age using them because he was moving on these men. And he moved them to the Jews, and he moved them to the Gentiles, and he's moved them through the ages. He moved on different folks throughout the years and started revivals and awakenings throughout the years by moving on different men and different women. Now hear me, I understand that women aren't pastors, biblically, I understand that. But God has moved in great ways on some tremendous ladies. If you look at some ladies like Fanny Crosby, And she wrote so many books, so many hymnals in your hymn book that it just blow your mind to count them all. And she did it as a blind woman that was blinded from birth because of bad doctrine. Not bad doctrine, but bad doctoring. That's that hillbilly coming out, forgive me. But because of a bad doctor making a bad decision, and she lost her eyesight. But when she lost her eyesight, she was no longer focused on the world. She was focused on the great physician, amen. And he used that woman, and he moved on that woman to write some amazing songs. He moved on men to write this Bible. He moved on men and women to preserve this Bible. He moved on men and women that created an environment by trusting God and walking with God that would allow the great martyrs to stand strong to the end of their lives and be burned at the stake and watch their children be fed to the hogs and be boiled in hot oil and all the terrible things they've done to these folks. All these terrible things. It was because God was moving on these individuals. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, God moved on a man named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, God used Billy Sunday to start a revival, to close bars, to start prohibition, to repair families. Amen. You know, because today we focus on the heroin and the meth and this, that, and the other. And the truth is, alcohol has destroyed more lives. The addiction to that alcohol has destroyed more lives than all the drugs combined. And we overlook that because it's legal. And the truth is, it's wicked as hell. And it needs to go back there where it came from. And Billy Sunday preached against it. And God moved on that man. He moved on the message. He moved on the crowd. And they were closing these bars down. People were getting right with God. Families were being healed up and reunited and fixed, and this prohibition set in, and then the government gave in to the criminals. Does that sound familiar? You know what I think? We'd be light years ahead if we'd just stuck with the truth. Well, we can't dictate morality. You can't do it with the law. God did in the Old Testament. He gave them a law. And God didn't say, well, you know what? You keep breaking the law anyway, so let's just forget it. But God moved on Billy Sunday and did great work. He's moved on men and women all the way through this church age to see souls saved, churches planted, missionaries sent out, missionaries cared for on the mission field, and on and on and on. If you read the life of Jesus Christ, you study the life of Jesus Christ, he was on the move. He was always moving around, headed one place or another, but he always had time through his mercy to stop and help those that needed help and that wanted help. So we understand the movement of God here. All that he would move on this church and perform his will the way he wants to perform his will. We understand the mercy of God. Look at this verse again, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Through the mercy of God, he looked upon that blind man. And you know, one day he looked on me. Because of his mercy, he could have just walked right on by. But he looked on me, and if you're saved, one day he looked on you because of his mercy. Not because I was so good, but because he was so good. Not because I had so much potential, because he is potential. God moved, and he had mercy on you and on me. He looked upon that blind man. We see the mystery in chapter 9, verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Why bad things happen? And that's, we hear that a lot, and people have even written books about it. Why bad things happen to good people? First of all, there's only one good, and that's God. Second of all, sin brought all this mess on. But it wasn't their individual sin that caused the blindness. And his disciples were looking at this mystery and said, Lord, whose sin caused this man to be blind? Was it him or his parents? He said, neither. Because people sometimes go through some rough things and it's not a fault of their own. It's just the fact that we're in a state. And then Jesus Christ, in verse 5, he talks about his mission. as long as I am in the world, verse 4 and 5, excuse me, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. His mission was to fulfill the work and will of the Father. And Jesus Christ talks about the works that he does are not his own. They're the works of the Father. And we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like. Our mission is to do the work and the will of the Father. Look at verse 5, though. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, he's not in the world physically, but we still are. And we are supposed to carry on his mission. To move around this world, to show the mercy and love of God to the lost, and to do the will of the Father. What's God's will? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'll tell you one thing, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm not talking about a pulpit, I'm talking about a preacher, amen. I'm talking about somebody that'll say, hey, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ, he went to that grave for 3 days. Jesus Christ rose again with victory for you. You're a sinner on your way to hell, just like I was. And Jesus Christ stopped by and had mercy on me, and he'll have mercy on you if you'll just turn to him. Hey, that's our purpose. We don't have to look 100 years down the road for our will, for the will of God, for our purpose in God. Our purpose in Christ is to tell other people, hey, you're going to burn in hell without Jesus Christ. He is the answer. The mission. Look at the miracle in 6 and 7. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The miracle. He gave this man his vision. You know what would be good for us? Open thou mine eyes, Lord. Open my eyes to different things, to sinners. Show me sinners the way you see sinners, Lord. Open thou mine eyes. Let me see people lost and on their way to a real hell. Let me see people that have no hope, that are without God, that I can give the message of Jesus Christ to. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. I think we spend a lot of time saying, open his eyes, open her eyes. Let them see what's going on in their life. How about me, Lord? Open my eyes. Use me. Here I am, send me. Open down mine eyes, Lord, to sinners. Open down mine eyes, Lord, to self. Show me my sin. Let me be able, give me the strength to read this book, to accept the reality of my sin and get it right. It's easy to see everybody else's sin. Our sin's kind of like the truck drivers. You know the truck drivers? They're driving down the road and somebody gets up beside them and they're so close to them they can't see them. We get so close to our sin, we can't see it. But boy, we look all around and see everybody else's. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. I want to be clean. Help me. Talk to me. Deal with me. Work on me. Change me. Make me better. If we all did that, we wouldn't even have to worry about anybody else.
That's right.
Amen. We talked about that in Sunday school. Unity. Unity, realizing we're all in the same boat without Jesus Christ, and we're all in the same boat saved without following him. We all need the same thing. We need to pray. We need the Word of God. We need to follow His will. We need to be a blessing to one another instead of a hindrance. Amen, amen, and amen. And we need to be focused on Him. Lord, open my eyes. What can I do better? What can I do different? Help me get right. Help me stay right. Open down mine eyes to sinners. Open down mine eyes to self. Open down mine eyes to Satan's devices. This book says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know what Satan's devices are? It's funny how the word device and the word divide means the same thing, because what Satan likes to do, he likes to drive wedges between husbands and wives, between mamas and daddies and their kids, between brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters, between blood-bought, born-again believers. He likes to drive wedges. And the only way he can do it is if we let him. Amen. Amen. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. I want to see things your way, Lord. I'm tired of seeing things my way. I really am. I like it when I see things His way. I like it when somebody comes up and they're giving me grief, and I'm like, look, this person's going to die and go to hell. If I don't handle this right, I'm going to miss an opportunity to try to give them the gospel. If we could see sinners the way He sees sinners, if we could see self the way He sees self, us, and if we could see Satan's devices, he's the divider of the brethren. He wants to divide brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, he wants to divide pastors and church members. You know, he wants me to say something wrong to you. He wants you to take it wrong if I'm not saying it wrong, whether I am or not. He wants you to say something wrong to me. He wants me to hurt you. He wants you to hurt me. And he wants you to turn on me and me to turn on you. You know, I think there are too many people out there that are saved that don't realize the battle and realize Satan's devices. I told you this when I took this church. When you all called me here and I accepted, you're going to find out real quick that I need your prayers. You hang around long enough, I'm going to say something wrong. You hang around long enough, I'm going to say something that hurts you, whether it's intentional or not. Amen, amen, and amen. And I knew going into this that eventually I'd see something wrong that probably wasn't even wrong. Because I realized one thing, when God called me to pastor, He called an imperfect person to do a job that only He can do. Amen. And when you look across the aisles and you look at the person beside you, same thing. He's using imperfect people. But He's good that way. He'll use us. He'll use us. Open now mine eyes, Lord, to sorrow. To realize that other people are going through things. We talked about in Sunday school, we talked about that dog I had when I was growing up. I'll tell the story again because some folks were downstairs. But we always had these dogs, and these dogs get killed all the time. I mean, they didn't last long. We had a dog named Missy. We had a dog named Tinker, the mean dog. We had a dog named Sugar. And I was a little boy. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember he got mowed down by a Mustang right out in front of me. I was playing out in the yard. Sugar wasn't sweet at all, amen. It was gone. She was gone. So Dad gets another dog, and he names this dog Lucky. He says, if I name the dog Lucky, maybe he'll make it. He lived 16 and a half years. He was good to the family. He'd protect the family, but he liked to fight other dogs. And another dog one day got a hold of him, and he had an injury. And I went to pet him as a little kid, and he bit me right through the hand. But see, he didn't bite me because of me. He bit me because of his injury. And that's something we have to realize as brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes people act out of spiritual character because they're hurting. Sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about what they're going through. Sometimes it's about what they're facing. Sometimes it's about the damage they've taken, the pain they're going through. And we get so caught up in ourselves that it becomes so personal that we don't realize the sorrow of others. Every once in a while, I have somebody text or call or something, and they'll say, look, I'm sorry to burden you with this, but that's our job. Not just the pastor's job. That's our job as born-again believers. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's our job. Even when our burdens are heavy, our job is to be able to lay ours down at Jesus' feet and say, I'm going to take the burden of the brother and the sister. I'm going to take their burden, and I'm going to take them to the Lord. That's our job. We just do our job. Amen? Open down mine eyes, Lord. Open down mine eyes to sinners, to self, to Satan's devices, to sorrow, to service. Open down mine eyes, Lord, to service. How can I serve? How can I minister not just to the lost? How can I minister, wives, to the husband? Husband, to the wife. Brothers and sisters in Christ to each other. Mamas and daddies to children. That's an important one. How do we minister to our kids? And you know what? Kids minister to us without even trying. You heard the singing earlier, amen? That's a ministry. That's a blessing. That's good stuff. It's easier for them than it is for us. Open down my eyes, Lord, to service. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to surrendering. Just, I don't want to give up. Give it to you, Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, whatever burden it is, fear, frustration, bitterness, to surrender to God, just give it to Him. I think it would help us, it would serve us well to realize that people are watching us. They're evaluating your salvation. Amen. People that you have witnessed to, people that you have given tracts to, people that you have prayed for, people that you have talked to over and over and over again are watching to see the fruit of your salvation. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to surrender. I want to be yours. I want to serve you so others can see you. Amen. You know what God will do with that? He'll build His church. Amen. I'm not just talking about Gateway Baptist Church. We talked about this in Sunday school. Paul saved people lively stones because every saved person is alive and growing. A living and growing organism. And God will grow you if you surrender. He'll grow us. He'll grow this church. I'm not talking about numbers. God, He can deal with the numbers. And He can deal with the quality. But quality is what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be great to leave this world and God say, you know what? You were a good Christian down there. I mean, you struggled. You started out rough. You had some patches there in the middle. But I'm going to tell you what. Those last years, you did right. You glorified me down there. Surrender. Open down mine eyes, Lord, to the Savior. I'm not talking about just being saved. I want to know more about Jesus. Amen? I want to know more about my God. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now think about this. The Bible also says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know what wondrous things he'll show you out of his law? His Son. His Son. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to the Savior. Who is Jesus? Not just the Savior. Who really is our God? I told you this a couple weeks ago. I was looking up in the sky thinking, Lord, I don't even really know you. I know you as Savior. I know you're there. I know you answer my prayers. I know you speak to me. But I'm so far from you. I want to know you. Paul wanted to know him. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, one of the shames of being out of God's will and not in unity is that we don't always gain the benefits of the sufferings that we should. Because we get to know Christ through sufferings more than any other time. And if we don't deal with them right, if we don't lay it at His feet, if we don't surrender to Him in those times, we're going to miss some things. We're going to miss the knowledge of Jesus Christ that He wants to give us. Amen. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to sinners, to self, to Satan's devices, to sorrow of others, to service, to surrender, to the Savior, to salvation. If you're here today, I don't know your heart, and you're not saved, I just hope God opens your eyes to salvation. Shows you that you're a sinner on your way to hell. And that Jesus Christ died for you. And it's personal. You don't get saved by going to a church. You get saved by going to the Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verses 8 and 9 back in John chapter 9. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am He. There's the folks right there that are looking at your salvation as neighbors. They're not only watching you leave on Sunday morning carrying your Bible and watching you Wednesday night carrying your Bible, they're watching you when you cut your grass. Spooky, isn't it? They're watching you when you get your mail. They're watching how you interact with your husband or your wife. They're watching how you interact with your family, with your friends, with your other neighbors. They're watching how you interact with them. Amen. Here these people are, says, yeah, that's him, that's the guy. But you know what they noticed about that guy? He could see now. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. Let me see things your way so they can see you, the multitude. Then we have the mockers. Boy, we get used to that after a while, don't we? Seems like there's a lot of them today. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and do see. Makes it sound simple, doesn't it? It's just as simple as saying, Lord, I'm lost on my way to hell and I'm trusting you and you alone to get me to heaven. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. They just looked at Jesus Christ and said he's a sinner, according to their tradition, according to their law. They said he was a sinner. Isn't that something? So mockers and scoffers, that's not a new thing. They mocked Jesus Christ while he stood in front of them. Amen. Is a servant greater than his master? Moses said, hey, why are you murmuring against God? Why are you going against God? They were giving Moses the grief, but their problem wasn't with Moses, it was with God. And when we're witnessing to folks, the problem is not with you. The problem is they don't want the truth. And God never asks us one time to give them the truth, only if they want it. Amen. But I can show you example after example. He says, preach even if they're not going to listen. Amen. The mockers. Jump back to verse 3. I'm about done, I promise. Here's verse 3. Don't miss this. We had the movement of God, the mercy of God, the mystery. Why bad things happen, the mission, the miracle. The multitude, the mockers. Verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The motive. Why is this guy blind? Was it him or his parents, Lord? You know the disciples had a little bit of that Pharisee going on still?
Right.
Why? What'd they do wrong? This guy's blind. What'd he do? Or was it his parents? Which one of the wicked ones got him in this position? Jesus said, no, it's just for my glory. This guy's blind to glorify me. But it wasn't just his blindness. It was the sight that he was going to receive that was going to glorify him. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I could glorify you. That I can glorify you. I'm not here to tell you, love, 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 love. God wants you to be rich. If you don't have a Jaguar, you're out of God's will. I'm here to tell you that God wants to use you to glorify him. And it's up to him how he does it. But it's up to us. It's up to us to surrender to his will. Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. Here's this blind man. Everybody knows who he is. Jesus moves by, dumps his mercy out, performs a miracle, and the multitude notice the miracle. What are the multitude noticing about you in your life? What do they notice about us as saved folks? And now's a great time to ask that question as the world's crumbling around us, seemingly. What are they noticing about the way you deal with it? The way we deal with it. You know what I think? I think there are a lot of folks, and I've had them say this out on the sidewalk, there are a lot of folks that are looking at this church saying, you know what, that church has been open every single time, every Sunday. They're serious. And look, I said it before, that God didn't call me to close this place. If God wants you to stay home and he tells you to stay home, stay home. I'm not going to judge anybody on what they do. It's between you and the Lord. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But he didn't call me to close this church. And people have commented on it. People that don't go to church even have commented on it. You know why? Because they've noticed it. They've noticed it. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I might glorify you. Help me see things your way. Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your sealing spirit. Thank you for this book, Lord, this King James Bible. Lord, you are amazing. That you could look on us and love us, die for us, shed your blood for us on Calvary. Open thou mine eyes, Lord, to the price you paid for this piece of dirt. Keep us safe through the week, Lord. We ask for your blessing on the prayer meeting coming up here in a little while. And again, we ask you to bless each and every member of the church and the visitors, Lord. We ask you to bless Sister Myrna and her family. And Lord, the folks that have been witnessed to by the members of the church, you bless them and help them see themselves as lost and on their way to hell, and Jesus Christ as their answer. In Jesus' name, amen.